overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change, to create a brand new life.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
For whom the bell tolls for thee. It is a call to stop, to consciously breathe, and to surrender into the sacred moment. I would suggest to you that this is the best moment of your whole life, because you're here, you're still on the planet, you are awake to the degree that you are awake, you are breathing, you are alive on so many levels, and there is a presence within you that is revealing itself endlessly anew. And we are aware of that. Today I'm speaking about a covenant with practice. And we practice our meditations. We practice our journaling. We practice through life until we exhaust the one who practices. The seeker falls away. And then life becomes a revelation. Breath by breath, moment by moment. And we are in an experience with this spirit that we are, that was never born and will never die. And that ache in our heart to find fulfillment perhaps in the world is now expanding to a realization that that yearning is the yearning of this divine presence to awaken within its creation. And we are that creation. We are that yearning. We are that presence that is unveiling herself with every breath. And so instead of identifying as the seeker, we become the sought. Divine love so longed to be known that she created this world for her delight, so that she might sing through us, create through us, nurture through us. It is said you can water a seed and perhaps change the world. But if you can experience yourself as the waterer, the one who nurtures, then you can change your life. And so we move from the outer to the inner. We move from the doer to this simple beingness of life. And we rest as that. In November, I'm starting a class called A Simpler Way. And it's about knowing our true nature. as emptiness dancing, as awareness revealing herself, as life awakening in the world. And when the world begins to awaken collectively, and we are that collective, collaborating, co-laboring, giving birth together as the one life, emerging as a new aspect of our humanity, then we become the fashioning factors of this evolutionary consciousness on planet Earth. We come together as one life, in service to that one life, not an us and them, but a us as them, that we are each other. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a better place, so let's start giving. And so we start serving. They say when you leave this planet, you will be asked two questions. Were you able to give and receive love while you were here? And how much and how well did you serve? And so we take those questions into our heart. And we open to the experience. This month I'm going to be speaking about widening our circle. From me to we. So that everywhere we look, we see our own self reflected. The wind begins to preach to us. The birds begin to sing to us. The lightning bugs smile at us as they blink at us in the evening. The spiders in their webs show us their artistry and their patience as they sit so stoically at the center of their web, waiting, ever waiting, in this fragile web of their creation, not being attached to the web, because when the web disappears, they create a new expression. And so everything becomes a mute gospel. Everything is preaching the good news. That's what gospel means. And we witness it. Truth is beauty. Beauty is truth. We begin to see beauty in the smallest of things. And then we realize that we have expanded our field of awareness, no longer caught up in the paradigm of me, but actually moving into the paradigm of we, the we consciousness. And we are open, and we are teachable, and we are curious as this realization begins to flower within our hearts and minds. We realize then that we are not bound by our belief system, our conclusions, our indoctrinations. We really don't know anything. And then we begin to be curious, and something starts to awaken within that does know, that feels a resonance, a coherence with all of life. And we think we're going crazy because it's not what we were brought up to believe. But then after a while, all beliefs fall away, and we are free to discover something so intimate and so beautifully mysterious. We are called by Pachamama, the Divine Mother. We are called by Pachipapa, the actual universe that surrounds us. We are called to know our true birthright. We are born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow the wisdom of our heart. So could we experience that freedom right now through a conscious inhalation and a conscious exhalation? We are already free, but the irony is we have to choose that freedom. We have to claim that freedom. On the armoire in my dining room, there is a photograph of Bert and Speck. They're at the dog park, and Bert is in midair, doing his prance in the universe. He's got a big smile on his face, and right next to his side is baby Speck, looking at him with so much devotion, and she is also in midair as they're frolicking as free spirits. And when I look at that, I hear Bert saying to Speck, "Whoa, we're free, you know, let's get the hell out of here." And she says, "Okay, let's take off." And then I see Bert and Speck running down the beaches in Cape Cod, leaping over the sand dunes, taking off. And Trey and I look at each other and they say, they've taken their freedom yet again. So could we know that we are not separate from Bert and Speck? They ultimately come back, but yet they also claim that freedom. In the sacred moment, free to dance, free to frolic, free to prance, free to explore, free to discover, free to choose the one you want to play with. Ah, and then life becomes a glorious adventure. And that is the invitation that I invite you to this Sunday, to embrace this authentic life that you've been given and say yes, 1,000 times yes. And then this life that we've been so bestowed becomes a blessing to not only us, but to the world, because we're allowing it to reveal this imprisoned, delightful splendor that we all are. Claiming the grace of that, the innocence of that, the playfulness of that, I invite you to come and join me as we open our eyes, open our hearts, enter into the sacred space together, and know that you've come here to have an experience, a direct experience of the truth of what you are. And so am I. And that invitation never ceases. Every moment when you wake up, the invitation is there. I start my day with peace. When I start my day with peace, then all I get is peace. As silly, when I start my day with love, then all I get is love. I start my day with love, love. And then I start my day with joy. And when I start my day with joy, I reap the joy, joy, joy. So we get to choose how we enter into this day, a blessing or a curse. Is it going to be a troubled day because I'm going to identify it as a problem? My Zen calendar this morning said, if you see life as a problem, it's a problem. But if you see it as a beautiful revelation of truth, it becomes that. Yesterday, and this is for you, Shannon, because this is so sweet. Yesterday, this is what the Zen calendar said, and it spoke to my soul. Just let go, it says. Let go of how you thought that your life should be. And then embrace the life that is trying to work its way into your experience, into your consciousness, into your being, into your doing. But in order to do that, you have to let go of yesterday. You can't get to second base if you're still clinging to first. And then here's what they said today, building on that same idea. Let go of yesterday in order to know who you are today. And guess what that takes? To open deeply, as a genuine spiritual life requires, we need tremendous courage. We need tremendous strength, and we need the warrior spirit. A warrior is the one that sings, to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to go where the brave dare not go, to fight the incredible fight, you know, to embrace this life that you've been given. Now that requires strength. It requires the willingness to let go of yesterday's dream and to allow this dream that the universe is having to unveil itself through you. The month of October, I'm speaking about creating a wider circle. And you know, there's an old saying that says, some do a circle to keep them out, but I do a circle to bring them in. Could we have a bigger circle? And our teaching is one of those that embraces all from the many different avenues, the unchurched, the churched. I almost think that we should be fundamentalist anonymous because I have so many people that come from that lineage, including myself. And could we open to this inclusivity of spirit? Because spirit doesn't prefer one over the other. It embraces all. And we have to move from a paradigm of them or us to a paradigm of them and us, that is all us, that we're all part of this brotherhood of humanity. So through grace, I received a little text from Glory G this week, and she said, here's a wonderful YouTube of Buddha at the gas pump that I think you would find enlightening. And it was a woman named Lynn Twist who wrote a book called The Soul of Money. And this was sent to me through Grace, because this woman, she wrote her book, The Soul of Money, and she was a student of Buckminster Fuller's. And in the 1970s, Buckminster Fuller, this enlightened teacher way ahead of his time, he says, we're all trapped on a spaceship, and that spaceship is called Earth. And he says, we are the crew and we are the passengers, and we must tend this spaceship called planet Earth. And so he was one of those first that was telling us to not treat this as an object, but as a part. It's our home. It's a sacred place. And then Buckminster Fuller in 1976 stood up in front of an audience of 2,000, and she was sitting in that audience, and he said, I'm going to tell you the most powerful thing that I've ever said. And of course, she leaned forward, and he says, we are at a stage, we've crossed a threshold where we as humanity can live sustainably on this planet if we do the right things. If we don't, we shall perish. That we can all be fed, that all children can be embraced, that our planet can be healed. And so she took that as a mission, as a call for her soul, and she joined and started a thing called the Hunger Project, and her whole mission was to feed every child on the planet. And she's been working her whole life to feed the planet and to save others, as this call to build a bigger circle. Her practice is to raise consciousness around the prosperity principle, about circulation, and how instead of wanting to grasp and hoard, we want to circulate and give and share. You know, there's a sin in Sufism. There's only one sin. And I like it when they get simple like that. If you have more than you need and your neighbor over here has nothing, well, it's a sin not to help your neighbor. So if you have plenty of food, share it with those who don't have the food. So Lynn Twist, she opened to life as life was moving her on this journey. And she found herself in Guatemala at a place called Chichicastenanga. You know, I've been to Chichicastenanga when I was traveling overland. And it's this magical little place way up in the Guatemalan mountains. And that night she was taken on a shamanic journey by a Mayan shaman. And she says, we were lying in a circle where there was a fire and he was beating the drums and she couldn't even understand his language. I guess he was speaking Mayan. And their feet were toward the fire and their heads were out and she was looking at all the stars in space. And all of a sudden she experienced herself as a bird, a large bird, and she was soaring over the mountains. And she said, well, this is strange. And as the bird, she saw these faces coming out of the jungle, painted faces of indigenous people. And throughout this experience, these faces kept coming up and coming up. And when the journey was over, the shaman asked people to share. And when she shared it, he said to her, you are being called to serve at a bigger level. The indigenous people are calling you to offer your gift to take this wisdom that the indigenous people have and bring it to the Western world. In the Western world, we have a consciousness of grabbing, of possessing, of materialism. In that culture, it's all recognizing that everything is sacred and everything is an aspect of yourself. You might say they're the elders of the planet. And so she was called to serve, to expand this circle by helping sustain these indigenous people to their rightful place as elders of the tribe. So her journey, she starts talking about how this journey took her to all kinds of interesting places. And when she met the elders of these tribes through a translator, they spoke about Pachamama, the Divine Mother. And she developed a whole organization called the Pachamama Alliance. And it's about the Divine Mother, the planet, is a little irritated at the human species. And they said, you might have known that there's drought and there are floods. There's climate warming. There's mass extinctions taking place. So Pachamama, even the COVID thing, is a wake-up call from Pachamama to humanity. If you don't get your act together, we might be the sixth great extinction on the planet. This is what Pachamama is saying to the elders, and they're transmitting it to us in the Western world. We have to come together at a greater understanding to serve something greater. So Lynn Twist is being taken on this journey of awakening, a calling to serve. And it's interesting, I was going to teach a class called Original Wisdom, and it's about a man who had lived with the Malaysians. And he said, when I was living with the Malaysians, their whole culture was everything is sacred. And then my parents, being white Americans, everything was different. There's opinions, judgments. So he said, I'm trying to balance being a Westerner, but also being influenced by these people. So his mission, just like hers, was to gather the wisdom from these different cultures and put it in a book, and it's called Original Wisdom. And so he too is being called to serve at a greater level. So as time passes, and Lynn Twist is aware, the Pachamama Alliance, this call to serve the mother, she meets the Baha'i people, a very spiritual community, and they have a Baha'i prophecy. And so the Baha'i prophecy, and I love it because it's all kind of metaphor. The Baha'i prophecy says we have been living in the consciousness of the eagle. Now the eagle is very mental and it's very masculine. And the eagle consciousness has been running the planet for a very long time. They talk about 3 millennium. We're in the 2021, we're in the 3rd millennium. And they said in the 2nd millennium, it was a patriarchal society. That's what the eagle represents. But in the Baha'i prophecy, they say, this is the time for the condor. And the condor is the divine feminine. And so in the Hopi prophecy, they say the eagle and the condor have to come together and fly in balance. Now, Lynn Twist said, what's so beautiful about this, this doesn't make the patriarchal male mental model, and she said, all of us are really in the male mental model. It doesn't make it wrong. It says it has to be balanced by compassion, by intuition, by the awareness of the divine feminine. And so what's happening, she said, and she did a beautiful metaphor. Let's say this is the eagle in us. We have to get the condor in us flying together so the yin and yang come together. So the masculine and feminine come together. So the intuitive and the mental, the heart and the brain come together in service to this new image. And so she's kind of reeling with this awareness, this emergence of this that's flowering within her. And then comes the metaphor of the caterpillar. This is for you, Jean Ann. She said, if you ever look at the life of a caterpillar, when they're in the caterpillar stage, they voraciously eat, eat, eat. It's almost like us in the Western world, more, 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 more. But then when it comes time for the transformation, the caterpillar spins a cocoon, and literally the caterpillar becomes liquid. And in that liquid state, within the caterpillar, they're what they call imaginal cells. Now, those imaginal cells are what's going to create the butterfly, and they have to find one another. Imaginal cells have to come together to create this masterpiece called the butterfly. And then the butterfly has to have the strength to eat its way out of the cocoon in order for it to emerge as a whole new life form. And she said, this is what's happening in our culture. Places like here at the Center for Spiritual Living, these are the imaginal cells of this consciousness that needs to give birth on the planet. And she says, we need to collaborate together, co-labor together. We need to give birth together to this new order of being. Barbara Marx Hubbard calls it homo universalis, this universal human, if we are to survive as a species. So she's passionate about this new birth that needs to take place within humanity, and we are the way it happens. Now, as I'm listening to this woman, I'm going, wow, this is powerful. It's just like the answer to expanding the circle, making it wider. One of my heroes is a man named Richard Rohr, and he's written a book called The Patterns of Consciousness. And he talks about it's throughout history, birth, death, and resurrection starts there, or order, disorder, and reorder. You know, thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. Where literally we start with a premise. Let's say the male, we have to have our head together. But then comes this disorder where my heart is leading me in a different way. And then the synthesis is when the head and the heart come together. So he's saying, could we find that synthesis at this stage where we can bring the masculine and feminine, where we can bring prosperity and service together, where we can realize that the animals are our great teachers? You know, I've learned that the animals all come here to teach us unconditional love. We think we're taking care of them, but in a strange sort of way, they're taking care of us. I know that to be a fact. And so what if this asks us to die to an old way of thinking in order for something new to give birth, and we're the way it happens? I was telling Joshua here, I saw a movie, the first one I've seen since the COVID thing came. Trey and I went with our little masks, got our popcorn, sat in the back of the movie theater, and it's called Dear Evan Hansen. And it was on Broadway for a very long time, and it's one of the best things I've ever seen. From the moment I started to watch it, tears were coming down my face. because it's about a young kid in high school who didn't felt heard or seen, who was afraid to walk down the hallways in the school, who had his arm broken and not one person would sign his cast. And then there's another extremely disturbed character in this musical, it's a musical, who is probably the biggest a-hole on the planet, and he signs his cast completely, and then he commits suicide. And then the parents feel that he was his name was Connor. Connor had a friend. His name was Evan Hansen, but Evan Hansen really never knew Connor. But the family desperately needed to know that their son had a friend, so this whole premise of order, disorder, and reorder starts to happen in this beautiful musical where you see this pattern revealed. A new order of compassion, a new order of the feminine, a new order of love. In a society where there was so much conflict and hatred and judgment and pathological woundedness, and you get to see your family dynamics, so many of us. You know, there was a working mother, single mom, raising her kids, and she wasn't there for him. And she had these rigid ideas of how he should be. So he lied to his mother in order to save his own existence, to find himself. And as this thing began to unfold, the shadows all showed up so that the light could be shown through the shadows. And you began to realize, Josh said he's been singing the music forever. Every song, it's like I carry this heavy weight that nobody knows. But I'm good at carrying this heavy weight because I've learned to manage the heavy weight. It's part of who I am. Instead of realizing I don't have to live this tremendously toxic, painful life. And so in this strange little musical, just like with Lynn Twist, I saw this call to listen to one another. And in the pathology, in the lie that he told to heal everyone, he basically said, when I was down and out and nobody saw me and I fell out of the tree and I broke my arm, there was the hand of Connor, he's lying, reaching out to pick me up. And could we be there for each other when we fall from the tree and pick each other up? And then as the truth is revealed, and the truth is painful because usually it upsets people, they don't want to hear the truth. The truth was he didn't fall out of the tree when he was climbing it. He climbed the tree and he pushed himself out of the tree because he didn't want to live anymore. But he did survive. And so the truth will set you free, but first it disturbs everybody. So what if instead of living the lie and trying to fool the world, we actually were radically truthful and we actually showed and exposed the pain? That's where the transformation takes place. Not denying that this is the problem. I mean, we are close to having the next sixth mass extermination on the planet, and Lynn Twist says we humans could be the reason for that. And she said COVID-19 was a gift from Pachamama. It's a wake-up call. And she said, if you think about it, it has brought this whole planet together. Everyone who is not in denial, and there are a few that are in denial, but those who aren't recognize that this is an opportunity to take responsibility for how we can serve at a deeper level. I have my appointment for my booster a week from Monday. How many of you are going to get your boosters? Oh, good. I have some like-minded souls here. How many of you refuse to get your shot? Oh, we don't have any of you out here. Well, isn't that strange? But, you know, it's a responsibility that each one of us has to do what we can do. So let's see, where was I going to go with this little talk that I'm doing here? So we're in the third millennium, and Buckminster Fuller, when he talked about this is a threshold, he says there's going to be like 50 years when we go from the patriarchal system and we try to integrate the divine feminine. And we've noticed with the Me Too movement, women are no longer victims. In fact, women, when women get into government, governments seem to come together, don't they? Because they're the mothers. And he says it'll take about 50 years for this integrative process to take place, where it's not just the divine masculine, but it's the divine, the whole being. The inner feminine. I love men who have a deep inner feminine side. They tend to be more compassionate and nurturing, and they're not afraid of their emotions. I also love women who have a strong masculine side. They're no longer going to let their husband tell them how to think, but they're going to think for themselves. And when you get this strong woman and this sensitive man coming together within all of us, can you imagine what kind of world we would create? Because they're all our children. So yeah, they spoke about the need for a new paradigm, not of them or us, but of them and us, that we're all one family, one community, and the indigenous people know all about that. I've decided that in January, I'm going to start Llewellyn's class, Awakening the World, something I taught a long time ago, because I pulled his book out this morning and it's so relevant for today, because he talks about this ache in the soul, which is the ache of the universe to awaken. And that ache wants to, the planet wants to wake up. It's not just you waking up, this whole planet, it's the anima mundi, the soul of the world. So could we know ourselves as this spirit awakening in time and space, and that we're here to serve something so much greater than me? It's not about me anymore, it's about the we. And so let me give you a little bit of this. This is Llewellyn Vonley's latest work, and it's called Spiritual Ecology, and it's about hearing the cry of the earth. And he takes some of the greatest hearts on the planet, Tom Hartman, Thich Nhat Hanh, Sandra Ingerman, and they're all speaking about how imperative it is at this stage of life to build a bigger circle and begin to take guidance from our ancestors, the shamans, who know that the spirits are everywhere around us, so the tree people can speak to us, the wind can offer its message to us, the birds have their message. It's not just inanimate, stupid nature. It has consciousness, it has intelligence. And so here's at the very end of the book, this is what his hope for humanity is, and it really touches my heart. He says, the first step is always to recognize what's happening right now, to tune into the moment. He says, we need to relearn the wisdom of listening to life, of listening to that still small voice within. That's why it's so good to do the pages, to listen to the one that's wounded, but also listen to the wise one who sits behind the wounded one. You know, I did my pages for years, the Julia Cameron book, The Artist's Way, and normally what I would see was I'd be vomiting all my troubles down on the paper, and then after a while, once that was all out of me, there was something, there was a hidden wholeness underneath that would start to reveal itself, and it would say, breathe, and move into this sacred space. You're going through a metamorphosis. You're going from the caterpillar into this new butterfly. Could you imagine what that new self would be? It would be a peaceful self. It would be a self that wasn't afraid to be authentic. It wasn't going to try to conform to what everybody else. That little voice would start saying, be who you are, not who the world wants you to be. But in order to find that, we have to learn how to listen, to deeply listen. That's what we're going to be doing primarily on Wednesday nights, is to do deep listening and then listen and see what comes out of that. So here's what he says, start by learning how to listen and then feel your heartbeat and sense your soul. I was listening to Ram Dass this morning, and he says, to prepare to die, the first thing you do is stop identifying as your ego and start realizing you're a soul. You're an eternal soul. Just touch that place within you. And you're not a body with a soul. You're an eternal soul that has a temporary thing called the body. And when the body will shuffle off to Buffalo, as it will someday, this eternal soul is still going to be there. And if you've had as many souls, they're all here. And you know, it's so funny, in that musical, I think Connor came back as a soul to inspire Evan Hansen and to be his friend even in death. And so you saw kind of a resurrection. You saw an order, an incredible disorder with the suicide, and then a reordering at another soulful, spiritual level. And you're not going to get it with your head as much as you're going to get it with your heart. So Llewellyn's asking us to have that same direct experience. First, there is a pressing need to reconnect matter to spirit, to our humanity, to our divinity, knowing that matter isn't dumb matter, it isn't dead matter, it's a living expression of presence. I shared with in the revealing service, Trey and I were walking the pug yesterday in his buggy, and alongside the road was a teddy bear sitting on the curb. And he was sitting there looking all forlorn, and Trey said, a 72-year-old man shouldn't be concerned about a teddy bear on the side of the road. I said, well, look at him, he's sad. And Trey just poo-pooed it. We went home and we walked later that afternoon. He was still sitting on the curb. And Trey said, if he's still there by nighttime, you can take him. But he says, but don't clutter up our house with another one of your knickknacks. I said, so I'll take him to the center and he'll be. So, but I listened to that little teddy bear and it just said, I gave love to so many children. Are they going to cast me out when I stop being the loved one? So in a way, I was having an experience maybe with my inner child, with a part of me that realizes that it's all sacred. And I thought, he can sit in the classroom over there, and someone who needs to hold on to a teddy bear, I'm going to call him Bert. We used to have a Winnie the Pooh stuffed animal. It was in my office, and he became quite popular here until someone stole Pooh. Now, if you needed to steal Pooh, that's fine, but you know, now he has a replacement. Oh, God. All of life is sacred, he's saying. Every breath and every stone. In that book on original wisdom, he tells a story when he's in Hawaii, and he's with one of the native Hawaiians, and they're walking on the beach, and he finds a beautiful shell. And he comments, you know, usually I find broken shells, but this shell's intact, and it's perfect in every way, and they were sitting on the shores. And as they left the shore in Hawaii, he placed the shell back on the rocks. And the native Hawaiian says, you are not a haole. A haole is a white person. You are not a haole. Because he said, the haoles take the stones. They take the shells. They want to possess them. But you put the stone back because that's where it could experience its shell nature on the beach where it belonged with its other shell family friends. So could we have a connection to the stones and not call them dumb stones or dumb shells? So here he goes on. This is one of the great secrets of oneness. And remember Ernest Holmes, 1-1-1. If we teach anything, we teach oneness. This is the secret of oneness, he said, that everything is included. We are not a superior species over any species on this planet. In fact, I think we're kind of low on the totem pole when you consider the wisdom in nature. Within your heart and soul, we can reconnect with our primal knowing that the divine is present in everything. Now, that's the invitation. To connect and know that the divine is in everything, everything. Then that requires a stopping, doesn't it? And then looking at the tree that's showing you something, or the chipmunks, or listen to the fish in the pond. You know, Gigi was a little sad the other day because the weed whacker guy cut off the head of a toad that was living in her pond, and she felt responsible. Now, that was a sweet story because I told Trey that and tears came into his eyes. So could we care about something as simple as a frog in the pond? I would say maybe, yeah. We all know Kermit and Miss Piggy. So Llewellyn says this. He says, there is, for example, a simple prayer for the earth. I love the way the Sufis do this. He says, the act of placing the world as a living presence right there within your heart, and then inwardly remember the divine. Place the suffering planet in your heart and remember the divine. And what you're doing then is you're blessing whatever that suffering is by knowing that divine grace is right there. The givingness of Pachamama is there. Yeah, the givingness of Pachipapa is there. And then we see our ancestors as the stars. It was Mahatma Gandhi that said, when you leave this form, you return to your true nature as spirit. And then he likened it to the sun. That which gives life to all of us, we return to that life. So could we get a bigger world in our imaginal cells starting to awaken within us? And then explore it. Get curious. It was Emerson that said, only the coming is sacred. So could we embrace this emerging consciousness? Not as some kind of, it's going to take my belief system away, but it's going to take you out of all beliefs. We're teaching the Ajahshanti class, and he's so wonderful because last week it was the end of suffering, and he says we suffer because we're caught up in our conclusions, in our belief systems. And then this week he talked about living an authentic life. He called it, what did he call it? It was an A word. Well, I'll say authentic. Live your authentic life. And he said autonomous. It was autonomous. Living in your autonomy. And that's for you, Julie. He's basically saying, be who you are. There's only one Julie on the planet. And so when that begins to awaken, it's not what everybody told you it should be. And he says, it's our destiny to discover what that autonomy is. You know? And Llewellyn's saying the same thing. We have to listen. Place the world in your heart. And then inwardly remember the divine, and we become aware in our hearts of the sorrow and the suffering of this world. And we ask that divine love and divine peace and the healing energy flow where it's needed. See, we're not the doer. Spirit is the doer. Jesus, I of myself do nothing. It's this divine love. I call the Father that does the work. So could we call on this intelligence to go where there is need for hope, where there is need for peace, where there is need for nurturing and compassion, and know that we are what calls it forth. And through our prayers, the power of the divine will help us and help the world. And it will help to bring the earth back into balance again. There you have the eagle and the condor. It's going to bring it back into balance when you bring the divinity into the humanity. And when you bring the humanity into the divinity, they got to work together. Not as the human being the sinner and the divine being perfect. No, divinely human and humanly divine. Wow. You see that in your little girl, don't you? Could we see it in all of humanity? So he concludes by saying this. When we hear the morning chorus of birds, we may sense that a deeper joy for life, and we may also awaken a divine nature. And then at nighttime, he said, as the stars can remind us of what infinity is all about, and that the eternal is within us, and it's within the world, because we're not separate. And he says, and then watching the simple wonder of a dawn. Have you noticed how it's always darkest before the dawn? Trey gets up at 5 and I get up at 6 and the dawn is right around 10 after 6 and the whole sky on the eastern sky turns bright, bright red. And if you can sit there long enough, it's majestic. So he says, watching the simple wonder of a dawn or a sunset can be an offering in itself. And whatever way we are drawn into this wonder or recognize the sacred, what matters is always the attitude that we bring to this intimate exchange. What's your attitude? Is it an attitude of gratitude? Are you seeing it as a blessing? Can you say, wow, isn't this breathtaking? It takes my breath away. And then just sit and let it preach to you its gospel. Let it preach to you its gospel. It is through the heart that a real connection is always made. And then the connection comes alive within you. There's a living stream that flows from your heart as it embraces all of life. You meet from heart to heart, from soul to soul. And then every step, every touch will be a prayer for our planet Earth. It'll be a remembrance of what is sacred. Every prayer, every touch becomes a blessing for our planet Earth. Ajahn Chah talks about when he first met his teacher, and he pulled up to the Zendo, and she said, we're meditating in the room. And so he took his sneakers off and he threw them in the corner. And she said, you will place your sneakers in a respectful way. And he says, that was the first lesson that I got from my teacher. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So what if even in taking off your shoes, you place your shoes? When you finish with your meal, you bring your plate to the kitchen and you rinse it off and you put it away. When you prepare the dog's meal, you do it with adab, with respect, and you do it with love, and then you place it on the floor with love, and then it's received with love. You know, what if it's that simple, that we're here to treat everything as if it were sacred? You bow to the sacred moment. When I was with Thich Nhat Hanh in that 10-day silent retreat, there was no talking. There was the bell ringing constantly. And I'll ask Raul to go back to the bell because I'll do a closing treatment in a little bit. But you'd be walking on the grounds up there in Ascutney, Vermont, and all of a sudden this bell would ring out of nowhere. And you were instructed to stop right where you are and move within. Pay attention. What is your attitude? And look around you and see the face of God everywhere. And I found myself bowing to every flower, to every worm that I met on that walkway, bowing to the bird that was singing in the tree. And I realized that it was just a coming home and building a wider circle. And my practice was to be present, to stop, to look around. And wheresoever I look, I see the face of God. It says in the Quran, am I not your Lord? This is the voice of creation. To which we, the creation, say, yes, we witness you. And then you bow to it because it's everywhere. So I'm going to invite my beloved brother Raul to ring the sacred bell of mindfulness. Take a breath. May the sound of the bell ripple out throughout this planet. May it bring peace to those who are troubled. May it bring compassion to those who need love. And may it bring hope to those who are desperate. As we open to the vibration of the bell, we realize that all of life is energy, all of life is vibration. And we come here in that heart space to vibrate to the energy of divine love, knowing that it is all love. And as it says in the Quran, when we remember him, he remembers us. When we remember this divine love awakens within us. when we remember the compassionate universe, then that compassion awakens within us. When we remember that there is only one life, God's life, then that one life, God's life, awakens. The breath within the breath we all share, the breath of spirit. And we come here to remember that. And so I invite you to let the circle expand, to let it grow, to allow your beliefs to fall away and discover there's a knowing beyond belief. So let that knowing begin to expand. Yes, there's the part of our mind that's troubled and confused, but there's another place deep within us that has no confusion. Thich Nhat Hanh would say, in the midst of the toothache, he say, remember the non-toothache. And so in the midst of confusion and chaos and discord, remember that which is not discordant, that which is harmonious, that which is peaceful. And we begin to be the fashioning factor in our life as we co-create with this divine love. We collaborate, we co-labor with this divine love as it gives birth to a new order of being, a new order of human being, and we are that new order. So in your imaginal realm, see these imaginal cells in this center today coming together, offering our heart, offering our gift of awareness and our knowing to one another so that we might potentiate that knowing, that love, that hope, that possibility. Dr. Ernest Holmes calls this universal intelligence the totality of possibilities. So could we open to the possibility of a world that works for everyone? Everyone, for every being, even the most humble beings, are embraced in this idea of oneness. I invite you to imagine sitting at my dining room table and looking out of the window, and there's the beautiful blue ginger with its flowers growing. And on those blue ginger flowers are the bumblebees, and they're drinking from the nectar of the blue ginger as the bumblebee smiles at you and says, thank you. Now, who's there for whom? Is the flower there for the bumblebee, or is the bumblebee there for the flower? Or is it one big yes? And so we enter into the mystery of belonging to this incredible planet of ours. We listen to Pachamama. We listen to Pachipapa. We listen to the wisdom within our heart. And we say yes, 1,000 times yes. And then we offer our life in service to this emergence of spirit, this emergence of truth, knowing that there is an imperative right now that we all wake up and that we don't go back to sleep, and that we allow ourselves to be in service to this vision, this divine vision that wants to awaken within the hearts of humanity. Touch your heart. Feel that vision awakening, that dream, the universe awakening. And let's come together in the heart salutation, saying to this vision that longs to be revealed through us, I honor you.
I honor you.
I respect you.
I love you.
You are the vision of the universe awakening in me.
I celebrate this emergence.
As I realize that all there is God, and I am your humble servant, as you allow me to express and honor and be, trusting in this unfoldment is the great blessing that we all experience. I invite you to open your eyes, open your hands, find the smile of the Buddha on your lips under your masks. Sign up the sheet if you want to be a part of Wednesday or Thursday or the class. And I'll see you next week. Thanks for sending your tithes in. Be safe. What?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org. To create a brand new